south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, you know what happened to me again? I was at one of those big supermarket chains. I'd been to the place a lot of times before, but this time it was different. There was a new rent-a-cop stationed at the entrance and exit. There was never one there before. And this guy had a little curly-cue earbud and a radio. Even a flak jacket. He was all dudeed up like a SWAT team member. Everything was new. His clothes, his radio, his shoes, his hat. He was freshly minted, man. I thought, this is new. This seems weird. So anyway, it was shopping day for me. I had a big cart full of stuff. So I pulled up to the information desk, which was right at the entrance, and I pulled out my phone to call a Uber. And as it happened, I had a 6-minute wait for the guy to turn up. So anyway, I was standing there with my full shopping cart, right at the information desk, watching people leave. And man, this new rent-a-cop was patting people down. He was giving them the third degree. He would check the receipts and even look inside ladies' purses. I'll tell you, I never saw anything like that before. The guy was really professional. He was actually a little scary. And then I saw the guy get on his little radio, and another rent-a-cop came from inside the store. Apparently, these guys were working as a team. The guy in the store had his eyeballs on people and was reporting back to this guy, which people would check out more thoroughly. That's when I was thinking, they must have a big shoplifting problem at this store, or maybe the whole store chain. In fact, it was a rather high-end store, a little higher end than a normal Walmart, I'd say. It was in a sort of business area where there are a lot of university students going in and out, so maybe some of the kids had sticky fingers. For them, it'd be easy to nick a few things. Since they're all wearing little backpacks these days, they're called mochilas here in Latin America. That means there's a lot of temptation to steal, who knows? And plenty of places to put the stuff. Now, as you probably know, people down here in Latin America don't wear all that many clothes. At least no sweaters or jackets and stuff, except late at night, maybe. It's not like up in Chicago or New York, where people go into stores wearing big old coats and there's obviously more places to stash things. Which begs the question, when you were an adolescent or in university, when you were sort of constantly broke, did you have sticky fingers? Well, as for me, I was not much of a thief at all, though I did dip into my mother's purse once in a while for a couple of quarters. But man, my brother, the one you know as the stem cell poster child, man, that guy was a thief, a kleptomaniac. In his younger days, of course, I think when he hit maybe 24, 25, he quit doing it because he grew up and became an adult. But man, I remember going into my dad's garage up in the rafters, had a little fort up there, you know, sometimes kids do. The boards were a little too rickety for my dad or any adult to take a peek up there, but my brother had his stash of bicycles, electric typewriters. Yeah, back then they actually had typewriters. He had toolboxes, car radios, VHS tapes. Him and his best friend were a couple of little thieves. And where's his best friend today? He's the president of a bank in Madison, Wisconsin. How do you like that? Oh, and one thing I'll never forget. When I was around 30 years old, I was in a Sears or a big department store like that, and a lady came up to me. She owned a little corner variety store in the neighborhood. We used to go in there all the time, you know, for sodas and candy and comic books as junior high school kids and teenagers. And for sure, I hadn't seen her in 15 years, but I recognized her. She recognized me. Well, she came up to me and we reintroduced ourselves. We were reminiscing a little bit about her old store. She'd sold it and moved to Florida and was back to visit. Then she paused for a second, smiled and laughed a bit, and said, "You know, you stole a lot of stuff from my store. But boys will be boys," she said. She had a sense of humor about it. And I said, wait a minute. You're thinking about my brother. It wasn't me. And she said, no, it was you. I know the kids who were stealing from me. And I said, no, you got it wrong. It was my brother. He's the thief in the family. Which just goes to show how good a thief my brother was. He has such an innocent face. Actually, you know, as a kid, I wanted to steal stuff. My friends always had more money than I ever did. But since I went to Catholic school growing up and the nuns, you know, used to whack me around. And early on, they put the fear of going to hell in you and all that. Well, you end up with a guilt trip about anything you might do wrong. In fact, I remember one nun telling me, if you're thinking about doing something wrong, that's a sin too. As a result, I was just a little too afraid of stealing stuff. It wasn't about going to hell, but about my dad whipping my ass. So I never really followed in my brother's footsteps. Though I think I might have mentioned in a show a long, long time ago, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, that my buddy and I robbed banks. In the smallest way possible, actually. We were coin collectors, collecting silver quarters and silver dimes that used to come once in a while in rolls. So we go to a bank, find a silver quarter or two, and return the rolls with one quarter or dime short. So technically, we robbed banks. Hell, back then we were 10 or 12 years old, and the gray-haired old cashier ladies, they thought we were so cute, they'd never think to count the coins. Meanwhile, every week or so, we'd drop in and short them a couple of quarters and dimes. Now, I had a lot of buddies, you know, friends in the neighborhood. They'd nick candy and comic books and sodas here and there, but nothing really big. Though I did have a friend in high school who would actually take orders from people for record albums and tapes that he'd steal from a big music store. But my brother, man, he was the king and he never got caught. In fact, he told me once he was in the parking lot of a big department store waiting for his buddy to come out with some stolen stuff, his buddy got caught. The store detectives grilled him for a while, got his phone number, said they were going to call his dad that night. And this guy's dad was mean. I don't know, he must have been about 14 or 15 years old. Anyway, he went home and tried to soften the blow by telling his dad, who was a real toughie. He broke the news he would be getting a phone call. His dad lost it. Proceeded to beat the crap out of him, and the phone call never came. However, my brother, through some kind of luck, never got caught. In fact, he had a method of stealing certain things from Sears stores around Chicago that was really brilliant. I can't go into it right now, but you guys and gals will come down to the seminar, ask me about it, and I'll tell you. Speaking of the seminar, remember, it's from March 17th through 24th in Guatemala and El Salvador. You can still sign up by going to expatplanb.com. All the info's there, all the sign-up details. By the way, about half or more of the people who've signed up already are repeat offenders. So for those of you who've been sending me emails lately, wondering if the seminar is worth your while, just ask yourself, why would someone want to repeat it again if they didn't think it was more than worth it? So anyway, check it out. Just go to expatplanb.com and click on the seminar link. Meanwhile, back at the supermarket, I'm standing there with my big cart full of stuff, waiting for my Uber, watching the new Rent-A-Cop shaking people down, even going through ladies' purses. In that 7 or 8 minutes I was standing there, he must have done that to 15 people. And he caught one, too. It turns out one lady stuffed a couple of stick deodorant bars in her purse. Funny how people lie when they're caught red-handed. Dios mio, I don't know how that got in there. Then my Uber shows up. I pushed my big loaded cart right past that highly efficient Rent-A-Cop. He didn't even look at my receipt. He just gave me a big smile and practically saluted me on my way out. I'm telling you, man, when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail, the Gringo Advantage is alive and well. There's just so much evidence of it, big and small, that once you're down here a while, you don't even notice it anymore. You think it's normal. In fact, just recently, one of my gringo buddies, against my advice, hooked up on that Latin American Cupid site, you know, to find dates and stuff. So he got online, paid the 20 or 30 bucks a month, whatever it is, filled out the profile sheet, lied about his height and weight. What else is new? The ladies lie too, and they use filters. Anyway, he posted a few pictures of his ugly mug and a picture of him and his dog. And then the responses started piling in. He showed me some of them. And with the vast majority, the comments from the Latina ladies writing back to him were very telling. They nearly always included the phrase in their correspondence, Qué bonitos ojos. Translation, your eyes are so beautiful. Now, other than the fact that the guy is overweight and has terrible wisps of facial hair he should have cut a long time ago, he does have blue eyes. Apparently, to many Latinas, nothing else seems to matter. Blue eyes seem to cancel most other defects. By the way, I can't get over the fact these days that so many guys have terribly scruffy beards. And most guys with real short beards have bear patches in them that make them look like they were lost at sea or even dumpster divers. Man, you know, my philosophy is if you can't grow a nice, thick, even beard, don't even try because it looks like crap. Look in the mirror, can't you see? If you can only sprout a few wisps of hair on your chin, forget about it. But man, I'll tell you, that's a huge problem with Latinos down here too. I've never seen so many half-baked beards, mustaches, and sideburns. Oh, and backpackers, man, they're the worst. In fact, this one pretty Latina I know has got an 18-year-old brother with a terrible wisp of hair on his chin. He's sporting about 10 hairs, with 3 of them being long, straggly ones. You just want to walk right up and yank them. I said to her, you got to tell your brother to get rid of that thing. She agreed, said it was ugly, but he won't do it. It's a macho thing. Truthfully, I don't know what these guys are thinking. But, you know, in those rapper and reggaeton videos, all those shit for brains, no talents, seem to have incomplete patches of facial hair, too. Then we've got that other moda or fashion that's a bit testy. La moda, these days, that means the fashion, moda, M-O-D-A, is for girls and guys to shave all their pubes. I mean, all of them. I know. You're wondering how I know that. Well, guys, you'll soon find that out if you have a Latina girlfriend, and girls, if you have a Latino boyfriend. In fact, it was a red-letter day about, I'd say, a year and a half ago when my stem cell poster child brother first came down and started dating a young Latina he met on one of those Cupid sites. He said to me, "You could have knocked me over with a feather," when she said, "Shave your pubes. I'll help you do it." Knowing that my brother's got that really white gringo Caucasian skin, you know, German all the way, I'm sure he turned beet red, as he has a propensity to do. Well, in the end, he complied. The things you do for love, you know. Remember that song? Remember way back when songs had a beginning, a middle, and an end? And a chorus? Anyway, he did it without excessive bloodshed, but would not enlist her help or even let her watch. So, remember that, you guys and gals out there. Even if you're 60, 70, 80 years old, you just might have to grab a razor and follow la moda. After all, you don't want to disappoint, right? Don't think you can avoid that discussion. It will be on the table. So, are you down with that? Just wondering. Which raises some really dark and disturbing questions like, would your mother ever shave her pubes? How about grandma? Let's not go there. All right, here's a little email I didn't get to a couple weeks ago when I was talking about how I never have a guest on this show and I only had one once and he was really boring. Well, I did say there was one guy I would consider, good old Captain Mango, who really could have a show of his own. Except for the fact that I said you don't want to have him sing. And there is always that risk if he gets a couple of tequilas in him. Which generated a few emails, who'd have thunk, like this one. From Benny in Philly. He says, "Johnny, I listened to what you said about Captain Mango and singing. Personally, I used to get drunk and listen to a certain song over and over again, to the point that my roommates, I was in college back then, made me wear headphones. Which turned out to be a real horrible decision for them because I'm a terrible singer without headphones." He said, "I could just imagine what kind of torture I put him through singing with headphones on." Anyway, I thought I might lay that on you because I think we all know someone like that, right? Maybe it's you. Yeah, you know, you've heard me mention that here in Latin America, people love to sing. My cleaning lady sings all the time. People in grocery stores. Even Uber drivers, when a certain song comes on, they can't resist. In fact, that day in the supermarket I was just talking about, there was a guy mopping the floor, one of the crappiest jobs there is, right? And he's singing. Anyway, you gotta love it, even if there's a lot of bad singers out there. It shows, no matter what station they are in life, they're having a good time. By the way, you know what's funny about this show? People listen to episodes that go back for years, and then I'll get an email from someone asking me about some show I did, let's say 4 years ago. It's fresh in his or her mind, but for me, it's as if it was done on another planet. So, therefore, sometimes I get emails from people and I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Oh, well. Thank God for the archives, anyway. By the way, you know you can get every one of my 1,200 and something shows on the internet. I've had people drop me a line saying they've heard every one of my shows two, even three times. And one guy said, "If you listen to all my shows in sequence, it's like me speaking for 600 hours straight." Shades of Dante's Inferno and the levels of hell, huh? All right, now let's get into some recent Latin American news. Believe me, Latin American news in Spanish never fails to amuse. That's one of the other joys of learning your Spanish. Then you can read the news in its original language, as it was intended to be, instead of skipping it altogether and going to the lame street English-speaking U.S. media. For example, check this headline that just came out 2 days ago. Quote, "Murdered candidate wins election." You heard right, murdered candidate wins election. This one comes from Ecuador's largest news service. It says the murdered candidate for mayor of Puerto López, his name is Omar Meréndez, easily won the mayoral election Sunday. Meréndez, 41, was shot dead by gunmen who burst into the room where he was having a political meeting with his campaign workers on the previous Saturday, the day before. It says, a teenager who was working with the campaign was also killed in the attack, while three others were injured. Kind of reminds me of that old joke, what do you call a busload of lawyers at the bottom of the sea? a good start. So anyway, throughout Latin America, you've got candidates blowing their heads off. I remember talking about that and giving some stats about Guatemala. That was a few years ago, but it happens in every Latin American country. Because getting elected is like winning the lottery, a ticket to graft and corruption. It makes you wonder, why can't that be a trend up in the States, too? It's like when gang members kill each other. Their parents might weep, but for society, it's a good thing. Anyway, the article goes on to say, Mendez was not the only politician to be killed in the run-up to the election. 2 weeks earlier, the candidate for mayor of Salinas, Ecuador, Julio Cesar Faricho, was also murdered. In addition, it says, political candidates in other coastal communities, including Manta and Esmeraldas, have been targeted by hitmen too, with two other candidates injured in recent shootings. I know some of you do-gooders and social warrior types out there are thinking, how can you laugh, Johnny? Well, I'm trying not to. Meanwhile, if you want to know one of the cardinal signs of a failed state, just look at those countries who issue paper notes in higher and higher denominations. For example, just this week, Argentina announced they're going to release a 2,000 peso note. So what does that mean and how bad is the economic situation in Argentina? Well, just about 10 years ago, the maximum denomination paper note was 100 pesos. Then in the following years came the 200 peso, the 500 peso note, then the 1,000 peso banknote. And now in early 2023, they're issuing a 2,000 peso note. These days in Argentina, when you get change for something, no one bothers to give you coins. Which begs the question, if you see a coin on the street, what denomination is high enough for you to bend over and pick it up? I know. The thought goes through your mind, is it even worth the effort to bend over? Now, as far as this 2,000 peso note, the shame of it is, this week as it's released, it's only worth $5. Can you imagine a country where the highest denomination is only worth $5? Well, you can bet it's not just a Latin American phenomena. It's coming to a city near you. Only up in Milwaukee and Cleveland, it's by drips and drabs. Did you know that a U.S. dollar bill in 1923, exactly 100 years ago, is worth the equivalent of over 2,000 U.S. dollars today? To put it another way, a U.S. $100 bill today is worth less than $5 worth of U.S. currency in 1923. In God we trust, right? Certainly, you can't trust the government. Meanwhile, chicken bus accidents are in the news again. Well, in reality, they're always in the news. If you pick up a local newspaper and flip through the pages, there's always some twisted wreck of a chicken bus wrapped around a pole or over a cliff. Now, if you talk to the right people, mechanics and such, they'll tell you it's not so much that the chicken buses are in bad or poor mechanical condition, though some of them are. It's the fact that many, if not most, drivers are heavy drinkers. That doesn't instill much confidence in public transportation, does it? For example, just yesterday in news out of Peru, a chicken bus plunged over a cliff, killing 25 people, with most of the rest of the 60 people on board in hospital. The article goes on to say, bus accidents are so common along Peru's roadways. Reportedly, 2,600 people were killed in such incidents last year. Oh, and you'll find gringo and European backpackers on those things all the time, too, because they're so damn cheap, like 25 to 50 cents a ride. But, you know, there's two big problems with riding the chicken bus. Number one, the guy in charge of driving, who just might be drunk. Number two, there's a ton of petty theft going on in those buses. I don't think I've met a single Latino who rides the bus regularly who hasn't had her phone stolen once or twice or three times. The thing is, on those bus routes, especially during school and work days, you're jam-packed in there like a sardine. And those bad guys and no-goodnicks will wangle their way right up to a young girl, show her a knife or a pointy object, and say, hand over the phone or else. Of course, one easy way to stop that sort of thing would be to have a cop or a soldier riding shotgun on each bus. That idea has been tossed around, but the government brain power in Latin America is pretty soft, especially amongst the political classes. They're very good at stealing, but not much else. However, I was pleasantly surprised last time I was in the DR. I discovered that the metro system, which gets, who knows, a million or so passengers a day, has nearly a squeaky clean record when it comes to crimes and theft. Turns out it's completely safe. Why? Because they got a cop riding in each car. Duh, guess what? It works. Now, where have I heard that before? So, kudos for the DR government on that front. In fact, over the years, I've ridden that subway probably 10 or 15 times. No problems at all. Actually, it's pretty strange. It's as if it was in Europe. No graffiti at all. Squeaky clean. How could that be? People are super polite. An old lady, a pregnant lady, or a lady with kids will get on and a guy will stand up and give her his seat. Now, where do you see that in subways up in the States? In the movies, maybe, but in real life, I doubt it. Oh, and what's it cost? Well, I think about 60 or 70 cents. All right, moving on. I just received a major report on homicides in all Latin American countries. Now, this report's in Spanish, so it's not tainted by first world fake news. They break it down the usual way. Homicides per 100,000 citizens. We're talking about the 20 Latin American countries now, and we'll start with the five safest countries, which happen to be Suriname in South America, Paraguay in South America, Nicaragua, and Chile. Now we're talking 2022 now. Note there's been a large increase in homicides in Chile just this year. Not reflected in this report, obviously. We'll get to that in a minute. By the way, I mentioned this in the previous show. Just 2 years or so ago, El Salvador was the homicide capital of Latin America. And now, it's the safest. But you knew that already, right? So, once again, the five countries with the lowest homicide rate in Latin America: El Salvador, Suriname, Paraguay, Nicaragua, and Chile. And the country with the highest homicide rate, Venezuela. Next, most dangerous in regard to homicides, Honduras. And the four next in the group, neck and neck, are, believe it or not, Colombia, Ecuador, Mexico, and Belize. Which always seems to come as a surprise to people that Belize has such a high homicide rate and crime rate. They don't talk about that much in rags like International Living, do they? And in the mid-range on the homicide list is Brazil, Guatemala, Guyana, Costa Rica, Panama, and Uruguay. You know, that also surprises a lot of people that Costa Rica, Panama, Uruguay, and Guatemala have about the same homicide rate. And here, everyone thought it was so safe to walk around drunk at midnight with your wallet on your head in Costa Rica. I wouldn't try it. But, you know, here's the amazing thing. The Caribbean islands, and there's lots of them, right? They have a much higher homicide rate than the mainland of Central and South America. For example, a country that has the highest homicide rate of all the countries we're talking about, Central, South America, and the Caribbean, you'd never guess. It's the Turks and Caicos Islands. Man, you know, last time I was on a plane, I saw such cool ads for the Turks and Caicos. Girls running around on the white sand beaches, crystal clear water, nice resorts, sun and fun. Yet no one's telling you they've got a higher homicide rate than Venezuela. That goes for Jamaica too, and the little island of St. Lucia, and San Vicente and Las Grenadines. It's hard to believe, but they've all got about the same homicide rate as Venezuela. You know, the country that gets all the bad press regarding homicides and crime. Still, tourists flock to Jamaica and even the Turks and Caicos. Of course, you know, a lot of the tourists who go there hit those all-inclusive resorts, and if you don't go outside your compound, you're perfectly safe. But what fun is that? You want to catch some of the local life, right? It's at your own risk. It can get sketchy. The thing is, the Bahamas and Trinidad and Tobago have high homicide rates too, really high. Much higher than Colombia, Mexico, Ecuador. Though you never seem to hear anything about that in the news either, do you? But here's the real surprise. Of all 10 Caribbean countries on this list, the safest country by far, in regards to homicides anyway, is the Dominican Republic. Yep, that's right. By the way, as you probably know, Haiti's way off the charts. It's got more homicides than a lot of the other countries combined. As you may have heard, it's controlled by gangs, it's a failed state, and not recommended, nor is it safe for man or beast. Even Doctors Without Borders aren't going there anymore. So, anyway, just to set you straight on serious crime in Latin America, Central South America, and the Caribbean, if anyone wants this report, it just came out, and it's very complete and conclusive. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Oh, and they've got another interesting chart in this report that I haven't seen elsewhere. It shows how certain countries have gotten way better on crime between 2021 and 22, and those that have got much worse. Again, this chart shows the drastic changes in crime in certain countries between 2021 and 22. And the highlights here are the countries that shot way up in the number of homicides. For example, Chile, during that just 1 year, homicides shot up 32%. Barbados, 34% more homicides. Suriname, 50% more. Ecuador, 82% more homicides in 2022 than in 2021. That's crazy. And Turks and Caicos, 150% more homicides over that year. Man, those numbers are especially disastrous when it comes to the tourism business. On the other hand, we've got those countries where homicides between the year 2021 and 22 have fallen drastically. Like, for example, El Salvador, about 60%, according to this study. And over that year, homicides in Honduras fell 13%, Panama 9%, and Puerto Rico 8%. Not big numbers, but still, they're falling. Though nothing compared to that huge drop in El Salvador. Anyway, if you want this report and all the details, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And finally, another crazy article coming out of Ecuador. You know, I talk about Ecuador quite a bit because it's one of the number one relocation and plan B picks from big rags like International Living. And as you well know, as the gringos keep piling in, things change. Anyway, the title of this article is Cuenca, Ecuador's most decorated Catholic priest, accused of being a sexual monster, is dead at age 95. Now, that's a nice upbeat headline, isn't it? Anyway, it says briefly, Father Cesar Cordero of Cuenca died Saturday morning at age 95, easily the best-known Catholic priest in Ecuador and one of the most decorated in Latin America. He was accused in 2010 of being a sexual monster who raped and abused more than 50 boys and was subsequently defrocked by the Vatican. Yet they let that guy live his life free and clear, walking the streets of Ecuador into his 90s, knowing he was the worst of perverts. You know why they let him slide? Because he was connected. Born into one of Cuenca's most prominent families, Cordero's father was the city's most successful attorney in the early 20th century, and his grandfather was president of Ecuador, and later its poet laureate. By the way, even though it was the biggest scandal in Cuenca's history, and one of the most horrible, and one of the most painful, and even though he went to court and prosecutors found abundant evidence of sexual abuse, Cordero was never formally charged. Former employees in the prosecutor's office say the investigation was never officially closed due to overwhelming pressure from the higher-ups in the Catholic diocese. Other prosecutors have said off the record charges were deferred due to the priest's declining health. So moral of the story, it pays to be a pervert born into the right family. By the way, there are a lot more sordid details here I won't bother with. But if you have a demented interest in that kind of stuff, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you the article. Translated from Spanish.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.